The Book of the Dun Cow. I read this story a few months ago. It is a story about a rooster named Chanticleer. Chanticleer. And that's my southern accent. Chanticleer, he is sort of the leader of a farm community, all these different animals, and he leads through proclamation, through crowing. I didn't know this until I read the book. I should have. I have a rooster living in my neighborhood who crows, not just in the morning, but all throughout the day. And Chanticleer, he governs the other creatures that he leads through crowing throughout the day. And he has different crows for different times of the day, but they are all aligned with this ultimate mission of leading the community in a way that is healthy, sustainable, excellent, true, good, and beautiful. That's his mission as the leader of that community. And I'm talking about this on the East Charlotte Prez audio blog because I was having coffee yesterday with a guy named Mike, and Mike saw the rooster clinging to the cross sticker on my laptop, and he said, "I like that sticker. What's the story?" And so we talked about the original story, the story of Peter. We did an audio blog on that about how Peter was going to he audaciously boasted that he would support Jesus to the death and he would never deny Christ. And even if everybody else fell away, he would never fall away, on and on. And then Jesus tells him, "Listen, not only are you going to deny me, but before too long, you're going to deny me multiple times." And then to confirm the fact that you should not cling to your fantasies of accomplishing these big, impressive things in and of yourself or from your own strength, the big sign that you should cling to what I have come to accomplish for you, Jesus says, you'll hear a rooster crow. And so this irony, this mystery that the rock, Petros, also has a very primary dimension of his identity in the rooster. And you can imagine for the rest of his life, every time Peter heard a rooster crow at any time of the day, he would be reminded. He would rightly be put in his place, not as this above and beyond, better than everybody else, accomplisher of things, but one who needed to cling to the accomplishments of Christ. So we talked about that, and then this guy Mike said, "Hey, I was recently in Europe." Earlier in the year, he had taken a trip to Europe, and he said, "I noticed that there are roosters on the top of a lot of church buildings." And he said, "The reason a lot of those church buildings have that image of a rooster on their edifice is because that was a major symbol of the Reformation." And so that was new information to me. So I was really curious to hear about this, and it adds more to the story, another layer of substance to the image of the rooster. So in the Reformation, the reformers really embraced the image of the rooster because it was a wake-up call. The Reformation was the cry of the gospel to a church community that had basically fallen asleep. I mean, you could even go so far as to say the church had become comatose. The Catholic Church, the only church at the time, outlawed reading of Scripture. Only the priests and the cardinals and the Pope and guys like that who had the privilege and the wealth to learn how to read Latin, only they could receive the revelation of God. And then they, in a very manipulative, full of selfish ambition kind of way, would dispense bits and pieces of the biblical revelation, but really only to their own advantage. They were wolves taking advantage of the sheep. They weren't good shepherds. And so along come people like John Huss and Wycliffe and Martin Luther and John Calvin, and they cry out to a world that desperately needs to be impacted by the gospel, the light of the gospel, the heat of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. They need the life that can be found only in the Word of God. And so they were like roosters. And like roosters, they didn't just crow in the morning to wake people up. They proclaimed all throughout the day from all different angles with different nuances and different emphasis, but all aligned with the story of Christ and Him crucified and the fact that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, according to the Word of God alone, for the glory of God, all of these things, these cries, these battle cries, rooster crows of the Reformation. And so wanted to share that with you because in our Luke sermon series, we've put this image of a rooster clinging to a cross as a very dominant, emphatic image. Also, side note, I have new stickers, same image, but tinier. I ordered a new batch. So if you want one, email me or text me and I'll make sure you get one of the new stickers. Before I finish this little audio blog, I want to read a quote from one of my favorite quotes about the Reformation by a guy by the name of Robert Farrar Capone. He says, "The Reformation was a time when men went blind, staggering drunk because they had discovered in the dusty basement of late medievalism a whole cellar full of 1,500-year-old, 200-proof grace. Bottle after bottle of pure distillate of Scripture, one sip of which would convince anyone that God saves us by grace alone, through faith alone. The word of the gospel, after all of those centuries of trying to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps, suddenly turned out to be a flat announcement that the saved were home before they started. Grace has to be drunk straight. No water, no ice. No additives, neither goodness nor badness nor the flowers that bloom in the spring of superior spirituality could be allowed to enter into the case. Grace is the celebration of life, relentlessly hounding all of the non-celebrants in the world. It is a floating cosmic bash, shouting its way through the streets of the universe, flinging the sweetness of its cessations to every window, pounding at every door in the hilarity beyond all liking and happening until the prodigals come out at last and dance and the elder brothers finally take their fingers out of their ears." That's it.